Well, we would appreciate your prayers again this morning. I'd like to talk a little this morning about sin. Sin's bad. Sin is what has put us in the place we're in now. From the beginning, the soul that sinned shall die. Sin is the reason for death. Sin is always bad. It is always corrupting. It's always going to cause problems. Sin is just bad in any sense of it. And we had to have a way of dealing with sin. It's been mentioned in this meeting already, and I believe that it's true. We weren't created to be able to deal with sin or the effects of sin in these natural bodies. You hear all the time of people having heart problems and physical problems simply because the load of stress that they have on them. Sin will do that. We're not made to handle it and carry sin. There's a familiar saying in the Christian world. The saying is that I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's not a good saying. And I realize the propensity that we have towards sin and the fact that people without God or people that become indifferent, lazy, or don't live close to the Lord are likely to end up in sin. But we're not to be sinners saved by grace. We're to be Christians saved from sin by grace. It's a whole different world than to say, because even though I can pull out of that statement some elements of truth, it's never intended with elements of truth. It is intended to say that I am covered from the eyes of God in what I'm doing in my sinful life by the grace of God. That isn't the grace of God. The grace of God is an enabling divine power to give us victory over sin, which is to destroy our lives. Would the great God of heaven, and I won't take a lot of time into scriptures with this today, but I want to leave this thought stuck in your mind today, if you believe it any different, to search and to find the truth of this statement, because God isn't interested in leaving us in sin, the very element that destroys our life. The very element destroys your marriage, destroys your relationships, that destroys your health, your life. Would God of heaven that loves us and wants to help us leave us in the very element that destroys us? Well, of course not. Would the God that said that He hated sin, do you know sin cannot stand before God? It would melt before Him. It would destroy before a great holy God. Isaiah, when he come before the Lord, he said, "Holy, holy, holy. I'm a man of with unclean lips and stand before with a people, unclean people." He couldn't even stand before the Lord without that fire that was to touch him. Think of it this way: God hates sin, and He's also instructed us to hate it. Must I in sinful bondage be deprived of peace and liberty? Is that what the bottom of the Christian life is? I will always say the possibility and capability of us falling into sin will always be a part of this earthly experience. But folks, it's not the plan. It's not the plan that God made. God made a plan. God's salvation, Jesus' salvation, folks, is strong enough. It is capable of enough to cleanse us from all sins. It is capable. The world's got it wrong. Don't have it wrong today. Or maybe I'll continue my argument for the Lord a little bit here. Consider what God is. I don't consider myself much. But this is what I've got. I live in a little old place, made this point many times. We live in an old place called Green Bank. Green Bank is not a town. It's barely a community. There is a sign that says Green Bank. Where I live, that's about as big as it gets. It's a very small portion of Pocahontas County. I don't take up very much space in Green Bank. I take up a very little space in Green Bank. Green Bank's rather large compared to me, actually. But Green Bank don't take up very much space in Pocahontas County. There is about 8,000 people in Pocahontas County. A little over, less than 9. Not very few, little population. Fairly large land mass. But Green Bank don't take much up of space in Pocahontas County. And Pocahontas County really isn't but a fraction of the land mass of West Virginia. Where I live. West Virginia really isn't but a fraction of the space of the United States. It's a very small portion of it. Don't take up a lot of space. But the United States don't near cover the world. The United States is a very, very small portion of the world, of the size of the world, of the land mass and water mass. It's very small. Not going to add up to much. Do you realize that the Earth is a very small dot in our solar system? Of the solar system that we understand with the planets and the sun and the motions of it, you know the Earth don't make up much of that. Did you know that our solar system that's made up of the sun and the Earth, Mars, Venus, Jupiter, all the way to Pluto, Neptune, all of its moons and things, do you know that it isn't? If I could show it as a speck today in the Milky Way galaxy, you couldn't see that speck from where you're at. In comparison to the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is one, scientists say, one galaxy among more galaxies than we can name or understand. And if you could show the Milky Way galaxy as a speck up here today, compared with the rest of the universe, you couldn't see it from where you're at. And the universe extends into this great unknown. My question is did God exhaust himself in 6 days? Could he have a thought of something else? I declare today that the universe, if I could show it today, would be a speck that you could not see from where you're at if you compared it to God. That's how big God is today, and I would have to beg the question then, is that God able to deliver us from sin? Is the plan of God, His great salvation, the greatest, to me, the greatest thing He ever created? It's greater than the universe. Is that creation of God made to deliver, help us, bless us? Can it deliver us from sin? Surely we would have to all agree today that the God that declared that He hated sin and declared that we're to hate sin and made a plan in order to deal with sin in our lives, surely made a plan that works. Now, again, I realize that I don't have to wholeheartedly follow that plan, and the results of that would more than likely lead me into something of the sin nature. But there is a plan today. Don't shortchange yourself. Don't let the devil take advantage of you today and allow you to come to a place that you justify less than holy living in your life because it's not accepted with God. God made a plan that you and I can live a holy life right here in this present day. He had granted unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemy, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That's the plan that He made. That's the plan that you and I ought to try to live to. That's what we ought to live to. By His grace, Anything less is God's got power and grace for it. I don't have to be a liar today. Many people say, I am just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. You ask them, most of the Christian world, do you lie? And they'll say, yes. Yes, I lie. I'm just a sinner. That's all that I do. Do you know that it's impossible to have meaningful human relationships if you lie? Well, come up and tell me something, and if you're a liar, I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to go away shaking my head. I don't believe you. What if I can just tell you anything, and it's okay? I'm a sinner. I'll tell you the road's blocked off here. Just as a joke, of course, so you'll have to go miles around. It don't matter. I can tell you anything. You won't trust me. I won't trust you. We'll have no real relationship in that kind of life. If you're a thief, now how am I going to have a relationship with you if you're going to steal my stuff? Or you covet my wife. Now, how am I going to have a relationship with you if I don't trust you and can live for you? It's impossible. Sin is destruction of like that. So, Lord, help us today. In the idea of sin, the Lord's made a good plan. By the blood of Jesus, He washes us from all sins and cleanses us from everything we ever committed or everything that we would have. He's got the grace for us to live life. I'm going to look at a scripture with me. Let's see, in the first chapter of James. I'll start with 13th verse. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Always will bring forth death. Adam Clark said of this scripture, sin is a small matter at the start, easily broken. He says it's like a spider web. Very fine. Says it's a simple, irregular imagination. That's where it starts. Very small. Winston Churchill, at the onset of World War II, before Britain was in the war, Hitler was making advances, was being aggressive in different ways, taking over land, different things. Winston Churchill said and tried to preach and rally the British people to deal with him. And he said, you'll deal with him in his weakness, or you'll deal with him in his strength. The idea of dealing with him is you will. And he tried to rally them. Don't appease him. Don't allow him to take more and more and more and get more and more people under him and more slave work and more landmass and more resources and more and get stronger and have stronger and stronger. Don't let him get stronger. Deal with him while he's small and that you can handle him. Take care of him in the beginning stages, because there'll come a time in his strength that you'll have to deal with him. So it is today with sin. Sin starts out like a spider web, like an irregular imagination, a small thing that can be dealt with in an easy way. My heart today is mainly for the young people. I have a thought and a heart today for our young people. Because I was young one time. It was a long time ago. But I was young. I remember some of that kind of stuff and what it was like. I was a bashful young man. I was shy about it, things. And I was skinny, orange-haired, and freckle-faced. Not good combinations. Easy target to be picked on. Insecurity. All of those things, with the same time with curiosity of life, wondering what things was like and all that, come up to those kind of things and wondering what it was all about. I remember those days and what that was like and those kind of things. And I know that the devil is going to take advantage of that if he can at all. He's going to really take advantage of that. And there's an old story. I ain't read it for a long time. Probably missed the details. But you ever hear of the siren call? The land of the sirens. The old siren call. There was a story, I don't know, was that Greek mythology or something? But there was a story about the land of the sirens. These women, these beautiful sounding, singing voices, beautiful sounding, and the merchant ships and the sailing ships would sail by, and the men would hear the call of the sirens from the land of the sirens. And when they heard it, it was irresistible. And they would... Oh, they'd hear that and they would turn towards it and they would move their ship and their ships would crash and to be destroyed in the rocks from being driven and listening and hearing the call of the sirens. So there was this man, Odysseus, I think, or something like that, and he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear. So he pours wax in his men's ears and he straps himself to the mast. Ties himself to the mast, and they sail by that he might listen and hear the sound of somebody. He protected himself so that they wouldn't be subject to that call, that call of the siren that is so irresistible. You know, young folks, listen to me today. Old folks alike. The world is like that. Especially to those that hasn't experienced and hasn't seen the brutality of it and hasn't seen and learned that sin's bad. There's no way that sin is ever going to be a good servant to you. It is never going to bring you to a good place. Never will. Jesus made a way for us to live above sin in our lives. We're able by the grace of God to live the way God would have us to right here in this world. It is why Christianity, maybe some rightly so, has been ridiculed. Because it doesn't have the substance of what God really give it. Christianity has just taken on the name of Christ without the life of Christ. Can I honestly say that Christian, the word Christian and sinner is synonymous? I'm a sinning Christian. Can you be a sinning follower of one that done no sin and neither was guile found in his mouth? The words don't even fit. If I say I am a Christian, I'm saying I'm like Christ. And therefore, my witness into the world that Christ was a sinner. Was Christ a sinner? Did he leave us without power and victory in this life? So there's the call of the siren to the young people. Listen to me, young men. The world's calling after you. Hey, men want to be strong. Women want to be beautiful. That's the way we're made. The world calls for our young people. The fashion glamour magazines on the checkout aisles at Walmart is calling to our young girls and trying to say, if you look like this, dress like this, come, the call says, come fulfill your dreams. Come fulfill the things that you wonder about, the things that you are curious about, the things that you haven't experienced in life. We'll show you how to maximize it and get the best experience out of it you can ever have. Maximize the experience. Here is how you put your makeup on. This is the way you wear your clothing. This is the way, and the old siren call goes out there. And as it goes out to young guys, where you let your eyes be drawn is to that kind of an image. That's the old siren call. Young man, here, look at this, the world's saying. The world's advertising not only on billboards or commercials or magazine, they advertise it in our Walmarts, in lifestyles, in everywhere. The world says, this young man is the way to order your life. This is what will fulfill you. This is what looks good. And it goes on. And if you can get that, well, how can I get that? Then I've got to give myself to something in some way. And it calls to our young girls, who's the young guys looking at? The old siren call. But just as the sailors of that mythology They turn towards the sound of beauty to die crumpled up in the rocks in a shipwreck every time. It was a facade, a sound, something that seemed that never could be realized. It will work on, I can't answer this one, but that call will appeal to the very weakness you have in your life. Whatever that is where that call will sound for. I've heard stories that back during the Vietnam War, the Viet Cong, the North Viet Cong, they had a little trick that they liked to pull. They liked to get a woman that had good English, and they'd put her out there, and they'd put snipers around her, and they'd put that woman out there, and the woman would start screaming, "Help me! Someone help me! Help me!" It was a Viet Cong woman. Luring. Did you know how hard it was for good old red-blooded Americans to hear an English voice of a woman? They were all ready to go out there and rescue her. The siren call was given, a facade. There was nothing out there. "Come help me," she would cry. Inevitably, she'd get one of these young guys of rescuing this woman. The chivalry they had him, the thought they were going to go and do something. And they would find a sniper's bullet out there, and there was where they had lay time and time again. Folks, listen. Sin's bad. It's bad everywhere you find it. I know what it promises. It promises great satisfactions. It promises a great exciting world where sometimes our world is boring. You ever have boring days? Well, I won't mention any names, but just recently some of my children were saying, "It's boring. It's boring. Boy, I know young people need a lot of motion, a lot of activity, a lot of those kind of things, and that's the very thing. That's the very call. That's what the devil's going to use to come and say, 'I got something here.' And you know what he'll say? It's harmless. And he'll present it as a spider's web. It'll just be a spider's web. And you will say, 'I can break it at any time.' It's a spider's web. That's what he'll present it. You come and inside of this world that I'm presenting to you, for the girls, it is this desire to be pretty. It's a desire. That is even a God-given desire. There's something in them that is like that. But do you know the devil's going to take advantage of that? He can, and he's going to make it look like, and it will, it'll be like a spider's web. And you'll say at the beginning, 'I can break that spider's web.' But as you go on, he adds one more spider's web to it to wrap with it. Well, listen, I can break two spider webs. So you're still in good shape. You're in that place of irregular imagination. You're in the place that I just want to step into that. Only thing I've done is read the magazine. Only thing I did was get their thoughts on how you do it. This is how you do it. It's all I'm doing. I'm looking for it. 16th chapter of Romans says, you're better off to be simple. You're better off to be simple towards that which is evil. I had an aunt that started smoking when she was young. It was like a spider's web, I assume. The first one surely is like a spider's web, isn't it? She smoked a cigarette. Surely she could have threw them away at that point if she had said, "I don't like the taste of that." I'd have said it would have been fairly easy to do. But the pressures around of people that smoke. Oh, there's smoke around. Oh, this, you want to be a part. You want to be able to. I know what it's like to do those kind of things. She didn't just stop with one. She smoked another one and then another one. And they said the days went by, she smoked more. And as the months went by, she smoked more. And as the years went by, she smoked more and more and more. And way before she got to be an old woman, she had entangled herself with it totally. Some people would say to me, "There's no sin in it." I can tell you it's sin simply because where it takes you. It takes you to death. It takes you to corruption. It takes you to being in bondage. It has all the smell of sin on it. It gets you to there. I was in an auto one time with a guy that came up to me, and he come up and he said, "I want you to pray with me." It was after service. All right, let's go pray. He was praying, and he said, "I have a smoking habit, and I want to be delivered from it. I want to be free from it." And I told him, "That's in God's business. It's what He does." And we got down there and started dealing with that. Couldn't really get anywhere, and he was saying, "What I want the Lord to do is just take the appetite from me. I just want the Lord to just take the appetite away from me until I don't want no more." And there and dealing with it, I finally made a statement to say, "Well, I believe that if you'll repent of it." "Now, wait a minute," he said, "brother." Or preacher, I think he said. "Wait a minute, preacher." He said, "I have had a lot of preachers go down this line too. And if you're going to sit there and tell me that there's something wrong with it," he said, "I don't believe that there's anything wrong with smoking." And I said, "Well, we sure got to the bottom of it, didn't we? I found the bottom of this one. You got to get there. You're going to have to get there. You may argue with all the preachers before, but if you're going to get deliverance from this, you're going to have to get down with this one. This is where the victory's at, right here. God has made a way through His grace to deliver us from all these things, but we're going to have to get down to it. We don't want it. We're going to have to get rid of it. My aunt wrapped herself up in it, and I'm going to tell you the end of my aunt's life. A pitiful, pitiful life. You would think, or any of us would say, we would hope that we would be able, if life was in the balance here, that we could do something. My aunt, even though she was told over and over by the doctors, "You've got to quit smoking," she couldn't quit smoking. Because, you see, you can break a spider's web, but after a while, you can't break it. My aunt would light a cigarette, smoke a cigarette, and get her oxygen mask. She'd breathe the oxygen in, let it down to be able to take another puff. And she would do this all day. Into that, she'd put, when the cigarette run out, she would reach for some snacks she had. She'd take a bite of something. She'd take a drink of something. She'd take a breath of air. She'd light a cigarette. She'd puff a cigarette. That was her day. All day long. Over in the book of Isaiah, 5th chapter of Isaiah, oh, let's see, 18th verse, says, "Woe," this is 5 and 18 of Isaiah, "woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope." What happens in life when we don't heed the warning? Young people, listen to me. This will start out as an irregular imagination to you, a wondering what it would be like, or a desire for even natural curiosities. And it will start out as a spider's web. Do you know that every cart rope, you're talking about ropes that's unbreakable, are made of fiber? They're all made of fiber. Individual fibers. Spider webs. One piece of grass woven to another. That's woven to another. That's woven to another. After it's woven, each one adds a strength. And a strength. And a strength. "Woe unto them that Paul sinned with an ox, with a rope. You can't break loose. You can't break loose now from it. It's easier to deal things in their infant stages than to let them grow up in your life. I want to tell you, there's one that can break the cart rope. Even today, there's one that can still break the cart rope. Thank God for the one that can break the cart rope. Come to the place that I don't accept this into my life anymore. I've been damaged goods. Folks, there's people that's damaged goods by the way life has dealt them things. They can't help the way they've come. They can't help the way their mind is. They can't help from what they've done in life. They can't help from the abuses they've seen and the things they created in their lives. They can't help that. If it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, I'd have some strong, bitter places in my life. But because God is able to break those kind of things, He's able to deliver us, give us grace for those kind of things. A few years ago, it's been about 5, going on 6 years ago, I had a man with a rifle stuck right to my head with his knuckles white and his teeth gritting, hating me, saying, "I'm going to kill you." Well, he didn't pull the trigger, obviously. He pulled it back and jammed it in the side of my head. He attempted to beat on me, do all those kind of things. I went away from there totally unhurt. The Lord totally protected me, folks. He couldn't do a thing. I come away from there thanking God. But I run into some things. I run into a cruel enemy. Sometimes along highway miles we travel in the middle of the night. That come back to my mind, and the old devils tell me of everything I should have done and what I should do. But by the grace of God, I don't have anything in my heart. I felt very violated. I was violated as a human being, made to be. I mean, I felt the violation, the abuse. I understand that you may be here today and have had that too. And in your heart, you may have some very serious things that make you, affects you and makes you deal with life in a certain way. But I want to tell you today, there's one that has come to break the cart rope in two, that's able to take care of the biggest problems that you have in your life. He's the one that come to do it. And we come up short of it when we don't believe that's what He comes to. I'm just a sinner. I can't have any better life than having grudges in my life and bitterness in my life. And I have to hate my dad the way he done me. And I have to hate those around that done me because there's no better life. And I'm just a sinner. And it will never be better until I leave this world to get over there. That's bad. It's a wrong, that is not what He come to do. He come to be able to be a Savior to us, to make us functional in this life. He come to change those things in our hearts and life. And He's able to do it today. My aunt did not have to go her life at that. She did not have to do all that. But when her own ability, she couldn't keep from it. She had wrapped one thread over another and another and another till it got till she could not break it on her own. No way could she do it. Folks, there's things in this life that's bigger than we are. When my oldest child was just a little girl, she had all these little toys. I remember some of them. She had these little toys that would break on her, and I'd fix them. Oh, I'd put a wire into something and tie it back together, or a rubber band, or a piece of twine, or tape something, or glue something, or melt something, or do something to fix her toys. And she was pretty impressed with that. She thought I was really something to be able to do that. So one day she has a balloon and it burst on her, and her mother tries to console her, and she said, "Oh, Mommy, it's okay. Daddy'll fix it when he gets home." Well, when I got home, my wife said, you got something to live up to now. She expects you to fix that balloon. You know, I started really thinking about that. Now, how are you going to fix a balloon? You can't glue them. You couldn't tape them. Oh, the old faithful bell and twine don't work now. You can keep a, I keep a lot of inner tube in my possessions because I'm always wanting to wrap up a pipe that's cracked or something. It works real good. It compresses as it goes, does a good job of temporary patching. You can't patch a balloon that way. Glue it, mount it, do it. Now how are you going to do a balloon? But I got a great example out of it. I know that I run into my limitations. I run into my own limitations, and sometimes I look at life like that, and I'll desire to make myself fulfilled, and I can't fulfill myself. I can't do it. I can't make a balloon has to be made. You have to get another one. You have to make a new one. You know the Lord's able to make a new life. All the shattered and broken pieces of people's lives, the shattered and broken and all over the place, us humans can't put that back together. It's sin that breaks it down. It's sin that does that in people's lives. And yet there's no reason to try to justify it. That's all the better it can be. No, we got a God that puts things back together. We got a God that can put lives back together and homes back together and marriages back together. We got a God that can work in our life and make us functional and right again in our minds and our hearts. That we can be upright. God wants us to be upright. God's able to do those kind of things. And in my life, and maybe in yours, we attempt sometimes in the course of our life to make our own way through life and do those kind of things. Remember one day, told this many times, there was one day, it was after work, I was in a rut, I was in a place and I felt like I needed something, I really needed something. I wanted to be fulfilled with something, I needed something. And I got in my mind, I remember thinking about it. I was off work. I was actually between jobs. I was going to have to go back in the coal mines in the night. I was between jobs, and I thought, I know what I'll do. Yeah, that's good. It was a nice fall day. I thought, there was a place up on the mountain where I grew up. It was a stump there, and there was some hickory trees there, and there was always squirrels there, and I always liked to hunt. And I thought, oh, this is going to be nice. I'll go and get a shotgun from my dad, and I'll go up there and sit down up there, and I'll shoot some squirrels. It'll be like when I was a boy. That'll be fun. Boy, I'm going to enjoy myself now. That's what's going to fulfill me. And oh, I thought this is it. Went over there, got the shot, walked the hill. Up there, a beautiful day, sat down. Hollow. Empty. Everything that I thought was going to be there, I wasn't there. What? Now what do I do? What am I going to do? This ain't fulfilling me. I got something. What's going on here? You know, the Lord impressed me up there on that mountain. He said, there were some folks I knew that I visited quite often. It was a young couple. And the Lord impressed them on my heart. Said, well, go see them. Go see them. I just walked up the hill. I turn around and walk right back down the hill. Go and put the shotgun up and drive down there, knock on their door. And when this guy comes to the door, he's got tears going down his face. His wife's over on her knees at the couch. When he opened the door, he said, thank the Lord. We were just praying that the Lord would send us somebody. We really need somebody right now. You know, I spent a little time there with them. When I walked out that door, it was all different. God had fulfilled me in what I ought to have been doing and thinking, and the Lord fulfilled me with that. And folks, there's people out there that needs all kinds of things, and we're here to be able to give that to them. What are you going to go tell them? You can't live no better. Is that your message? I'm going to go in there and possibly the man says, I failed on my wife. And I'm going to say, just well get used to it, sister. That's the best God left us. That's the best He done for us. Or the wife says, I've been a terrible wife to my husband. And I say, get used to it, bub. That's all you're going to get in this life. No. No. We don't justify that. That's not the plan. That great God that made the universe and could have made more if He wanted. Made a plan of salvation for you and I that works. in our hearts that changes our hearts and can make us what we ought to be. It don't come cheap. It's going to cost you something to do it. You got to want it with all your heart and strive and reach for it and press for it. The kingdom suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. You got to want it with all your heart, but it's there and it's available. And God wants us to have it. He wants every one of us to have it. If we're not careful, we will pull sin with a rope and allow it to build in our lives. It is much better, much, much better to stop it at its starting points. There was a woman named Marilyn Monroe. Maybe some of the young ones never heard the name, but I imagine most everybody probably have heard the name. She was an incredibly popular girl, woman, and she's been dead since the 60s, and their name still is, I still see faces, her pictures and faces and stuff. I still seen it just the other day, seen a thing that had her face on it. She was considered a beautiful woman. But folks, she heard the siren call. Marilyn Monroe did. She wanted to be an actress, but she wasn't very talented. But she was beautiful. And so they used her. Oh, you know, there's always somebody out there to use you. They used her to make much money. She became very, very popular in lustful ways. They said that she got so bad before she died that she would be totally incapacitated and they would be putting her makeup and stuff on her. They would have to get her while she wasn't even able to stand up and put her makeup and stuff on for her. She heard the siren call of fulfilling life. But in order to do it, she needed some substance help. Substance. She needed an upper. She was going to have to perform and be alive when she didn't feel like it. And her body didn't feel like it. It was wore out. So she had to be able to perform. So she needed a substance to get her going. An upper. So she would take an upper. Then she would go do what she'd have to do, our photo shoots and all this air, her movie or whatever she was doing. She'd have to do that and be pretty and be beautiful and be appealing. And then she'd have to try to go to bed. But she couldn't go to sleep if she had uppers. So she needed substances. So then you'd get a downer to sleep. We didn't have sleeping pills. So she had to take sleeping pills. But she's got to be up at 6 in the morning. So you'd have to have an upper to get up. So you take an upper to get up and go through the day and be what you got to be. You got to have something to do it so she would be have an upper. At some point in the day, she's going to have to relax. And she can't because she's a ball of nerves. Shaking. We'll give her some pills. She'll get some pills. And it winds a rope. It wound a rope in her life. At first she could have said, no, I don't want another one of those. But after a while she can't say it. She said, give me that. Folks, they say that it takes one use of heroin to be an addict. I don't know. I've never used it. But that's what I've heard. It takes one use. It's very strong. Very powerful. The more that's used, the harder it gets. So it is with all sin. Marilyn Monroe found this out. Do you know Marilyn Monroe was a young woman? There was probably some, there was a lot of things in her life. But for all practical purposes, she killed herself. That's what they say. She killed herself from disappointments, from life holding. What do you mean? You're one of the most popular people on the planet. And life holds nothing for you. How do you get there? Well, you get it there thread at a time. A thread at a time. Lord, help us today to consider this. Thinking of another man, many of here would probably have known him. He was some family member of my wife. He was my age. He was about my age. And I think he was younger than me. He was younger than I am. And I watched him. He gave himself so totally to sin that it was astounding to see. And there would be times in his life that the Lord would have mercy on him and get him to a place that you would have thought he would have run for his life. And he longed for dark rooms, dark smoke-filled rooms, dirty rooms, for days, weeks on end, laid on a mattress in a room that had nothing else in there. The ones that were supposed to have been his family and friends abusing him, taking his money, taking his stuff, kicking him, abusing him. You'd have thought he would have wanted to run for his life, but instead, he was always drawn back to that. Every time he had a chance to get out, he was drawn right back into that dark world by a cart rope. Of something that was there that signaled pleasure to him or signaled a way of life to him that pulled him way back into that every time, over and over, pulled him back. And the man up in his 40s then spends the last days in a nursing home. I know there's things beyond our control, but this one wasn't one of those. From a young man, he decided to build a web of things in his life that got stronger and stronger. Drugs, alcohol, bad living, bad people in his life and around him, darkness and bad things in his life, and to the point that it destroyed him. I asked my wife the other day, I'm 53 years old, and I thank God for the health that I have. If I want to still get out and walk up the West Virginia mountains, I still got the strength and ability to do it. And I asked my wife, what do you think he would have been like if he hadn't have done those things today? Could it possibly be that he would have had a nice life? Could he have been a strong man yet? But he heard in his youth the siren call. He heard the voices of the world saying, this will be fun. This will be fun. Fast cars. Loose girls. Drinking. Fighting. Drugs. Excitement of lights and of things. And he heard that and longed and went towards it. But there is something that is true today and will always be true. The soul that sins dies, folks. Sin is bad. Don't give in to the idea of it or the reality of it. Sin is bad. It will destroy you. It will destroy the things around you. It will destroy all that is good and pure and right. And our hope and dream and desire for all people is to be brought back into that image of purity and that idea of integrity and honor, to be able to stand before your fellow men and look them in the eye, to be able to say, I've not cheated you. I've not wronged you. I don't talk about you behind your back. I haven't done anything to you, and I can look you in the eye and have integrity and honor and decency. Sin corrupts, folks. And it always will. Stay away from it. By the grace of God, we can live a life right here on this, in this life, above those kind of things. And the church triumphant. Triumphant? Triumphant. Marching army. What are we fighting? What are we representing? Recently at home we had a study on standards. A standard. The whole idea come originally from the from the ideas that the tribe of Israel had them, and every standard represented, they actually didn't break them in they had them split into four groups. There was three, I believe, but they had, and they all had a standard. And you know what that standard was for? So you'd know who they were. That's what it was. They look. If you looked and you saw that standard of their flag, you would have said, "That's Judah." Had a lion on it. The lion on the standard. That's Judah's tribe. And now who's associated with? That's who they are. Christians march with banners. Banners of love. Banners to state who we are. We're not just a people that says Christ, Jesus, all these things. No. We're a people that live by the grace of God. We're a people that can overcome this world by His grace. Our standard is to represent Christ in our lives. That's who we are. Why do we do what we do? Why do we dress the way we do? Why do we do that? Because we're saying something. Folks, listen. Everything we do, we say something with it. That's why we do it. That's why we encourage right living, right dressing. Oh, you say, well, what's the importance of it? Because it's the same thing. It starts out as a spider web. It starts out as a thin thing. But we all know, if we're willing to acknowledge the truth, we all know why we should dress right. We all know that. It isn't just for women. It's just more prominent in women. It's for all of us to do righteously. Because it affects our own hearts and minds. It affects those that are around us. Of course it does. But God made a way that we can live above those kind of ways and thoughts. We live in the lines of holiness. We're trying to prove, say to the world, holiness is our banner. Holiness is our motto. Holiness is our way. It's what leads to the good things of life. It's what's going to lead us to our eternal home. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Of course it is. We don't shun on any of those things, or we shouldn't. We should long for them. Give me more of them. I think of the psalmist that said, I love thy law. That's what you say. Come on. What a statement. All of our hearts ought to be that. Put another rule on me. You know how rebellious we are about stuff. And the psalmist said, Lord, put another rule on me. Help me to see more about what you want and desire. The Lord has said and taught us through His law of what's right and wrong. Give me more right. Teach me to be holy in this land. Give me the grace to perform it. We're Christians. We take on the highest name that there is, Christ, who lived His whole life without sin, to show us how to live. I know that we have failures. If I know we're human and have the potential to fall into things. But don't mistake that for the plan that God made to deliver our souls and to give us victory over it. If you are somebody that talks too much today and gossips, let me tell you, God's got victory. If you're someone that tells lies sometimes and don't know why you done it, there's reasons why you done it. And you don't even need to know. But I'll tell you what God can do. He can deliver you of that thing. If you're somebody that has bitterness through the things of your life in your heart, God can deliver you of it and give you victory over it. If you've been wrapped up in habits, you know there's a lot of habits in this world. There's habits of substance. There's also habits. There's actually habits of what you watch. Folks, it may start out as just a curiosity or a peek. But if it stimulates, you better watch out. That thing's going to entwine and entwine and entwine. I'm still going to say to you today, there is one that has the axe. There's one that can cut you loose of that. That's the one we promote and say, well, I'd love for the world to be able to get it. I'd love for the politicians to start understanding this, that we have a fundamental problem in this country and in this world. It's called sin. Yes. And if you think opening up the freedoms to marry whoever you want to of gender is a positive thing, you're just taking another plunge into sin. that is going to ultimately more and more and more tighten the rope that binds this country, that pulls it through sin. It's wrong. We love everybody. We love them. Everybody. And that's why we want this message to get to them. God can deliver you from that and make you wholesome and right in everything that you do. I suppose if we was to sit and think about it, that there would be many, 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 many illustrations that we could think of people that started out. I think of a story, just in closing, I think of a story that old Brother Jim told me about a farmer that was up there that raised chickens. Said he was out below his farm there. Best I remember, he was on a little rock cliff, and he was out there. I don't remember if it was Brother Jim or who it was, but he was out there and sitting there. I think they were squirrel hunting or doing something, and they was out there. And these little red fox pups come out below him on this little ledge of rock and come out there and was a-playing, come out there. And they was so fuzzy and cute. You know how little animals is, wrestling around there. The old farmer pulls his shotgun up there and blasts them. Kills these little foxes to the shock of the one that was with them. He said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Because little foxes grow up. I'm a chicken farmer. That's my enemy." Oh, they were fuzzy and cute now. But they grow up and they have big sharp teeth. Very cunning. And they love chickens. They were little and small. How many times in my life have I seen that play out? Seen people, usually as young couples do it. One in particular I'm thinking about had a little child, a little boy. And just about the time he could start saying words, they had him dropping big four-letter ones. Teaching him them things, and they'd sit and laugh and say, they'd tell him, "Say, tell him that," and he'd say, boy, and he didn't even know what he was saying, the words he was saying he didn't even mean. But he would blast off that, and they'd sit and laugh, and this little old boy, he was cute. Oh, he was a cute little feller. And he'd blast off these words, and they'd sit and laugh. Little Johnny grew up. Little Johnny grows up. Started stealing. I remember seeing his paper, magistrate reports. Thieving. Stealing. Before long, he's in prison. Heartbroken. Shipwrecked. Yes. Folks, it ain't funny. No, sin ain't funny. It's deadly. Yes, it's corrupting. Lord, help us today to realize that we have the one that came to cleanse us from all sins. Thank God for His power. Thank God that He had the willingness to go and die on that cross and shed for us the remedy for salvation. There was a time in the children of Israel, they come into a land that was full of fiery serpents. And the fiery serpents was making a dent. They would bite and sting or whatever they did, the people. And so Moses goes before the Lord, and the Lord gives him the remedy. Said for him to make a brazen serpent and put it up on a pole. And for every one that got bit, they was to go and look upon that serpent and that they would be cured. You don't have to go look on it if you don't want to. You know, even in that, there was a part for them to play. God told them how to do it. But they still had to go do it. What if you was a mile away and you got bit? You better hurry. You better go. You know, there was an idea later in the scriptures about one that was going to be up on the cross. Some say that it couldn't be that a serpent represents the Lord. It don't. But it represent what Jesus did. Jesus becomes sin for us. That's what it means. And the remedy of the snake, the serpent bite, was the serpent. And we know, even today, if you want a venom of a rattlesnake venom, or a rattlesnake post-cure, they make it out of the venom. The antidote is made from the venom. So it is. that Jesus become on the cross sin for us. Our remedy for sin is Jesus Christ. He hung on the cross the remedy of sin. If I be lifted up, I draw all men to me. That is our remedy and cure today. And folks, it's as powerful as the creation of the universe. Its failures and faults does not lay in the plan or the one that done the plan. It lays in our own wants and desires to reach for it and get it in our lives. Lord, help us today. You pray for me.